cancer diagnosis at the age of 32, my mom and I talked a lot about the shock of that diagnosis, given several doctors told us you're too young to have endometrial cancer. After much discussion, we began to feel driven to inform and help educate other young women about what symptoms they should be concerned.
Having both been teachers, it seemed natural for us to look for a way to share Alex's cancer journey in order to help other young women avoid such a shocking diagnosis or possibly navigate a similar path. A podcast seemed the best way to get the word out, and that's how Down There Aware was born.
4 years later, our mother-daughter duo has gone from educating and informing to advocacy and action, with a fresh and sometimes very interesting and somewhat humorous multi-generational perspective.
We look forward to sharing with you season 4 as we advocate, take action, and make it a priority to always be
Down There Aware.
Welcome back to another episode of Down There Aware. For you, it's fresh in the morning and you're listening on your way to work or you're getting ready or whatever. And this is the 5th episode we've recorded today.
Yes, and we are in the same
clothes. We're in the same clothes. If you're watching our YouTube channel, shout out to our YouTube viewers. Same clothes.
And we're doing that because we're leaving for Germany.
We are in 10 days from today, I believe. So
2 weeks in Germany.
When you're listening to this, we will be back. We'll be back and refreshed. That's and right. All those things. But yeah, we wanted to kind of go through world statistics on cancer and then focus regionally on various parts of the world about their cancer rates and statistics and things like that. So today we're wrapping up our world tour with South America, Latin America, and the Caribbean. As I was doing research, again, we're not geography buffs, but as I was doing research, it started to become clear that those regions oftentimes are lumped together for statistical purposes, which makes sense. They're all in that region.
Yeah.
So, I found some interesting facts that I wanted to share. 7.5% of all cancer cases in 2020, now this is South America, Latin America, and the Caribbean, in females was cervical.
7.5%
of all cancers in females was cervical. Uterine cancer didn't even make it into the top five.
Wow.
Yep. Excluding, now the top five, they exclude non-melanoma skin cancer. In that, so they don't count
okay.
it. But the top five cancers in 2020 were breast, 28.2%, colorectal, 9.4%. Now think about that. 28% was breast. 9.4% was colorectal.
And that's the second most?
That's the second most. Then cervical at 7.5, thyroid at 7, and lung at 5.7.
Wow.
Yep. Uterine ranked at number 15 with only 2.1% of all new cancer cases.
So not much gynecological cancer except cervical. Mm-hmm. And that's not even a high percentage.
No.
Wow. We need to know what the
right.
what their secret is.
Thought it was really, really interesting.
That is.
Mm-hmm. The risk of dying before from cancer before the age of 75 in females in the region is only 8.5%.
Of any cancer?
Of any cancer.
Now, is that still leaving out skin cancer?
Non-melanoma skin cancer was the one it left out. I don't know that answer. I don't believe so. But,
okay. Because you think Caribbean, you think lots of sun.
And maybe that's why they leave it out?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I don't know. I don't know at all.
If it would just kind of cover, overwhelm the statistics.
Yeah, maybe that's why they take it out.
I don't know. Maybe we can do a little search on, skin cancer or melanoma in the Caribbean or whatever the rest of those regions are.
Yeah. It's interesting. The lifetime risk of being diagnosed with cancer, it ranges from 26%, so 1 in 4 persons, and that's in Uruguay, to only 11%, 1 in 10 persons in Guyana. So within the whole region, that's kind of the range. And cervical cancer varies sixfold for incidence from 39 per 100,000 in Bolivia to 7 in Guadalupe.
Whoa.
And then 15-fold for mortality, 19 in 100,000 and 1 in Martinique. Now, those have relatively smaller populations, so that probably has something to do with it. But still, it seems pretty scattered on the chart.
Where are these statistics coming from? And what is the reporter?
They are coming from Cancer Atlas, like we talked about before. And then I found a South America fact sheet from an organization that I can't name off the top of my head, but it will be on our website.
Okay. I was just curious if it was a kind of a global thing going in there researching, or if it's just an interior, you know,
like a reporting.
Yeah. Reporting that's coming out. I don't know. I don't know that it would matter, but it, wow.
Yeah. Now, so all of those things we said about, oh, wow, there's not a lot of cervical cancer or a lot of gynecologic cancer. This next one is like, well, how does that fit in? But specific to Guyana, in 2018, cervical cancer was the most common cancer death. Right? So it seems kind of like left field, wasn't expecting that.
No. Unless maybe there are no vaccines, there are no PAP screenings.
They're diagnosed late in late stage. Exactly. And so it's just more deadly in that country.
It has to be something like that.
Mm-hmm. Bolivia and Chile had the highest rate of gallbladder cancer in the world.
I mean, that takes me aback, just like the liver cancer in China.
Yeah. The highest rate. And if you haven't heard the Asia episode, go back and listen to it. Was the very first episode of the series.
Yeah, we've done Asia, Australia, Europe,
Africa. And now
this. So, yeah, this is the last one. But wow, what a way to wrap it up.
Right. Just seems kind of random.
Yeah, it does seem random.
And I haven't seen gallbladder cancer anywhere.
I haven't either.
These research. You know, in all the research that we've done, seeing, you know, high incidence rates versus high mortality rates. No.
Is there a mortality rate for gallbladder cancer?
It doesn't give it. These are just highlights from this study.
My curiosity is.
She's asking a bunch of questions that I didn't research, Mama.
But it'll get us thinking. I'm curious because if there's a high mortality rate, it would tell me, again, like with cervical cancer, that it's diagnosed late. Because if it's gallbladder cancer and confined to that, you take the gallbladder out.
Like uterine cancer.
Yes.
And the sooner you get it, the higher your chance of survival is.
Right. So that was what I was curious about.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. So several countries in the region, not all, but a few, have longstanding cancer registries. And so cervical cancer is actually trending down on average of 0.72 cases per 100,000.
Wow.
And that's when they standardize for age.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that long-term cancer registry was from 1984 to 2010.
Okay.
So quite a few years that they're tracking that, and it's been steadily decreasing, which is positive.
And which it should be all over the world because of the vaccine and the screening.
Exactly. Yeah. In Mexico, cancer is the third and fourth leading cause of premature death among adults 30 to 69 years of age.
It doesn't specify what cancer.
No, just cancer overall.
But still.
And maybe I'm just not smart enough to understand this. How can it be third and fourth? I don't know. But that kind of was like, I wonder why it says that. That one's from Cancer Atlas. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Staying in Mexico, breast cancer is the leading cause of cancer death among Mexican women, which is pretty standard. I think that's close to the American statistic, too, that it's among women, breast cancer is leading cause of cancer death.
Mm-hmm.
And cancer is the leading cause of death among Mexican children.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. That's one thing that we really haven't heard a lot of any statistics about childhood cancer.
Hmm.
But it really, really makes you wonder. Now in Mexico, they created the Seguro Popular, which is making universal healthcare coverage mandatory. And that has improved access to care and survival from breast cancer and childhood cancers.
I'm sorry, but all I could think of was popular. So I need you to go back.
I'm leaving this in. I'm not editing this out because I need everybody to know what I deal with on a daily basis.
I need you to go back and read those again.
Okay, so
what you said that popular.
All right, so
I'm gonna be popular.
All right, Kristen.
All right, go ahead.
So in Mexico, because of the high breast cancer rate and leading cause of death, cancer death for women, and then childhood cancer being the leading cause of death for Mexican children, they created Seguro Popular, which is a universal healthcare coverage that's mandatory.
Hmm.
I don't know all the details about it.
Yeah.
But that has apparently improved access to care and has increased survival rates for those cancers.
And I was going to say before I
sang abruptly,
I was going to say, I wonder if those rates are so high, especially in children, because there weren't tests available or treatment available, but clearly
their children weren't going to the doctor,
right?
Or, you know, yeah.
But clearly they've, you know, tried to fix that and there have been improvements. So that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Now in last week's episode, Mom talked about, the highest rate of endometrial cancer, per country worldwide. But I wanted to bring it back to that because I was really fascinated. Of the top 10, six of those countries were in the Caribbean, South America, or Latin America.
Right. And weren't the other ones in Eastern Europe?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
except for one. Samoa is kind of out there in Oceania.
Yeah,
but Bahamas is number one, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, those are the top three, and those are all in the Caribbean. Then you jump down to Barbados and Cuba. And then 10th is Fiji.
Wow.
Fiji's not in that area. Fiji's still in Oceania. Okay, so half.
Yeah, still. But half.
Talk about not being good at geography. half of the leading highest rate of endometrial cancer is in island nations.
Wow.
Because even, like, forget about where they are. Bahamas, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, Samoa, Barbados, Cuba, and Fiji are all island nations.
Yes.
So is there a correlation of you're smaller, so you have fewer resources? And I don't mean like,
or remote.
You're poorer, but you're more remote. So you then have to travel to places where there's a cancer center or something like
that?
There
has to be some commonality.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Because that's unreal.
While yes, there's a lot in the Caribbean, there's also just a lot of islands in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So that, you know, might weight it in that way. But then you also have, you know, Oceania and then a few in Eastern Europe. But
yeah. But again, the Eastern Europe surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
But huge that half of them are island.
It just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay. So considering South America now. Just South America. Leading incident cancers were prostate, lung, breast, cervix, colorectal, and stomach. So stomach's kind of a new one.
That's the first we've
heard of stomach cancer being high up on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And those same cancers were the primary causes of cancer mortality in South America. So that was interesting too, because some other regions, the incidence rates would be, you know, higher for some cancers, but the mortality rates would be higher for other cancers.
Right.
But these seem to be kind of in lockstep. They also did research based on the HDI, that human component, kind of like GDP, but for longevity and knowledge and things like that. Countries that rated high or very high on the HDI scale, they had the highest burden of prostate and breast cancer.
Okay.
Countries that had a medium, kind of mid-level, had a high burden of stomach and cervical cancer. So it just kind of makes you wonder, like, because knowledge is a factor in HDI. So is, stomach cancer, I think, is pretty not preventable. I don't really know a lot about stomach cancer.
Yeah. Well, my
uncle died from stomach cancer. But from what I remember, it was pretty sudden.
Yeah. And, he did have chemo, but
didn't really do much. So it just kind of makes you wonder, like, what is that? And then the leading causes of cancer that were diagnosed, prostate, breast, lung, cervical, colorectal, and stomach. Like I said, they were also the primary cause of mortality. And then moving into, they looked at like separate countries, French Guiana, Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina had the highest incidence of all cancers.
Whoa.
So those few countries, while Uruguay, Cuba, Argentina, and Chile had the highest mortality rates.
And again, we don't know why.
We don't. Now, not to get political, but Cuba and Chile both have pretty notorious political situations going on, which I'm sure impacts
everything.
So that was interesting to me. Incidence of colorectum, prostate, and thyroid cancers increased over time from 1997 to 2008 in Argentina, Brazil, Chile, and Costa Rica. But at the same time, same time frame, lung, stomach, and cervical cancers all decreased. So again, it just kind of seems like they're all over the board. There aren't a ton of patterns, or the patterns seem weird or contradictory.
Everything's very random, it seems.
It does seem that way.
It does.
So that was, it just was pretty interesting to me that region. And I think part of it might be because we've lumped together all of South America, and South America is pretty ding, dang, dong big, plus the Caribbean, plus Mexico. Like, we've added all of those things together. I don't know. But again, we lumped all of Africa together. So it.
Yeah. And all of Europe together.
So there are some big, you know who we didn't ever look at?
Who?
Canada.
No, we did. Maybe we should look at Canada and the U.S. and compare different regions. That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Maybe when we get back from Deutschland.
When we get back. Yeah. So that was, what I found out about South America and their cancer and the Caribbean and all of that. So again, throwing darts at a board. Thank you, Sadie.
It's been an eye opener. All of the research we've done. Oh, Sadie's joined us.
If you are watching YouTube, Sadie is licking my foot now. Okay. Thank you.
She needs some attention.
She does. We've been doing this all day long.
Yes. And
I don't know if you can tell in the video, but the sun has changed. It's actually gone now. So the lighting is adjusted. But yeah, I am just so excited that we were able to look into all of this research, because it was fascinating for me.
Me too.
And I hope that our audience got a lot out of it as well. And we are back next week with a new episode. We've wrapped up our world tour, if you will. But yeah, we have a lot of really cool irons in the fire that I'm excited about to see where they go and where they take us. We are now officially a 501c3 nonprofit. We have opened an official bank account. We've done all of the things, and we have some really cool projects that we're going to be working on. If you want to support those projects, we have a donate button on our website. So feel free to go on over there and you can claim it on your taxes like any other 501c3. We haven't really talked about that and how how we're going to move forward. Our big focus now is looking into grant funding for the projects and programs that we're hoping to build. And so if you see anything, if you're a grant writer and you want to come talk to us about stuff, I have very little experience, but we're really excited about the momentum. I feel like we just took a springboard.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Procter & Gamble and having written a letter to them. And we haven't heard back from them. We're going to give them a little time, and then we're going to regroup and try to connect with them again. Mm-hmm. That's all about getting some labeling on feminine hygiene products. We feel like that would be a huge step in our country. UK has done it, and
they're working to do it.
Yeah. They did it for
colorectal
cancer on toilet paper. Mm-hmm. But now they're working on the feminine. Yeah. So that's what we're hoping to do.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Down There Aware. Be sure to like and subscribe on our new YouTube channel, as well as on your favorite podcast platform. You can find us at Down There Aware on all social media sites, Twitter, Pinterest, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. If you have it, we're there at Down There Aware. You can learn more on our website, www.downthereaware.com, and always get in touch with us, downthereaware@gmail.com. See you next week.